And in this scripture in Genesis 3:16, it talks about the woman going to suffer through childbirth and things like that. But in the context of that whole passage or that whole chapter is we see that man has been separated from God through sin. All of us inherit that sin through Adam and Eve. And if we look just a little bit further along from 3:16, it says, "And Eve was given the name because she would be the mother of all living." And that is all of us. Now, you're not a sinner because you sin, all right, because you do something wrong, all right? You sin because you are a sinner. It is inherent in us. That's the first thing we have to come to this revelation of. It's a defining line. It's a hard thing to come to terms with, that, you know, all our beautiful, lovely people around us, that we think, how could they possibly be? No, it's not what they're doing, it's what's in them. And Jesus came to redeem us from that sin. And as we go through these 3:16s, let's have a look at some of the beautiful things that we find in looking at the scriptures of 3:16. Excitingly, when I saw them coming up on the screen, I looked and I thought, well, what more is there? How many more 3:16s are there? What do they actually tell us? Where are we going, you know, in that regard? And as I say, in Genesis 3:16 is our need for a saviour. Man has fallen, he's separated from God now, and we find ourselves in the middle of the chapters telling us that. God's holy, he can't have and be in relationship with the sin. He's given us Jesus. In Exodus, he comes to us. God comes to us in 3:16 in Exodus. In the next one, he numbers us. He knows us. He's aware of us. He's numbering us in his flock. He gives to us. He holds back the flood. He delivers. He judges wisely. He provides all we need. He blesses us with family. He blesses us with abilities. He restores. And that's just in the first few of the Old Testament. If we go further on, we get into the prophets. You can get some exciting things in there if you read in 3:16 in the prophets. But I'd love to say there's a Psalm 3:16, all right, because Psalms are so beautiful, you'd think, oh, beautiful that would be. But let's just turn to Psalm 3 anyway and have a quick look at what Psalm 3 says to us, because in this lost and forsaken world, this is what God promises us. And he said, "The Lord helps his troubled people. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice and he heard me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people." Selah. And Selah says, dwell on this, meditate on this, see that it's all good. He provides wisdom and understanding. When we get to the prophets, the prophets tell us when we become comfortable, we forget the Lord. And in this Western world that we live in, where food's not really a problem to us, clothing, housing, complacency is something that can set upon us quite easily. And God actually brings it up regularly in Scripture, telling us that if we become complacent, we forget who he is. And so if you're having trials and tribulations, be excited, because God's helping you not to forget him. Okay, so don't think that it's all bad. The word of the Lord comes. That's in Ezekiel. God stands with us. Daniel. We will become his bride. Hosea. He listens and hears those who fear him. Malachi. Jesus shows us the way and the need of the Holy Spirit. And now we're getting into the New Testament. That's in Matthew and Matthew 3:16. We get more excited as we get further in, especially where Julianne stood up here and said and spoke about the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. We're told that in Matthew 3:16, that it's the Holy Spirit that dwells in us and has been given to us. Stand in that strength. Be excited about it. It's not you that has to be the strength. God has already promised us that he is. He chooses and names us. That's in Mark 3:16. And then we go to see who Jesus is himself in Luke 3:16. He is worthy and he baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. How cool is that? Jesus is worthy to redeem us, but not only does he redeem us, he empowers us then with the Holy Spirit and fire. That's pretty exciting, I reckon. Then we get to the one that everyone knows, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If we turn into Acts, now we find out, and we heard this morning, it's by faith in his name. By faith in his name you are made strong. Yes, the faith which comes through him gives you perfect soundness. How cool is that? That's in Acts 3:16. If we turn from God and follow the world, destruction and misery are in their ways. That's Romans tells us that. I encourage you that as you look to the scriptures and the strength that comes out of them, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? It's 1 Corinthians. If you turn to the Lord, the evil is taken away. 2 Corinthians. I'm going to leave out Colossians just for a sec. But let us have the same mind as Christ and walk accordingly. Philippians. Great is the mystery of godliness. Timothy. 2 Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In Hebrews it tells us, having heard all of this, what they do, they rebelled. I encourage you, don't rebel. Having heard the word, having heard and read the scriptures, take it in, believe, because John 3:16 says to us, he who will believe, all right? Believe that which is that you've heard from the word. Don't rebel, as Hebrews would tell us. James tells us in James 3:16, there is an earthly wisdom. Beware of it. All right? Look for the heavenly, the kingdom. Do what God asks. This is in 1 Peter. Have a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed or proved wrong. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's 1 John. I'd like to say there was more 3:16s, but the books don't go far enough, each one of the next ones, to give us any more. But in Revelation, it gives us a warning in Revelation 3:16. And it says, so then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, I just want to share with you here that Ros and I were at that point in our lives at one stage. We were good people. We believed in God. We, you know, lived our lives well. We, you know, didn't mess up. We didn't annoy too many people. I didn't murder anyone. You know, we were good people. But we were neither hot nor cold. We were neither for God at that point, but neither were we against him. We were in this dangerous place, this lukewarm kind of place. And I encourage you today that it's as the Holy Spirit works in you, allow him the time to continue the good work that he began in us to bring us to this place of being hot, so hot that we want to rush up to declare the word of God, that we want to be out there, and it doesn't matter who steps into our way, that we're praying for them or we're talking to them about Jesus, whatever it might be, that we're gone from being lukewarm, where we're neither hot nor cold, but now we're powerfully hot. And I'm looking forward to that day when the church, and I'm watching it here gradually, and we've been watching it here in the last few years, as the church begins to move from a place of being lukewarm to there's some heat in this place today. There's some red hot people in this place, and the Holy Spirit working through you is beginning to bring fruit, and we see it coming. And we're watching is that people come into this place. They don't know what's going on, but they know that the Holy Spirit's in here. It's happening to us. So let's just turn over to Colossians 3 and 16. It was this scripture when Craig put them up on the wall, on the screen behind, and I was just writing it down. This is, for us, a powerful, powerful life. Obviously, the big picture of the world is that we think we can't do anything about it. Well, Jesus came to earth. He didn't come at the head of an army. He didn't even carry a sword. He didn't have any followers when he first arrived. He didn't write a book. There's not one book that Jesus wrote, all right? He was referred to a lot, but he didn't write a book. But he did redeem the world. And you might think today that you're inadequate, you don't have anything of value, you don't think you can stand against an army, that whatever's going on in the world, that you have no authority, no power. Well, you do. You have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who dwells inside you. You can pray. We can ask him. We can stand against the evils of this world. And I just encourage you today, let's read this scripture, Colossians 3:16. And it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace or thanksgiving in your hearts to the Lord." And he tells us that in all things to give praise and thanksgiving. Doesn't matter what's going on, be anxious for nothing. All right? It's not exciting outside of this building. But we have the Jesus who says to us, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication, giving thanks always, all right? That's the power that we have, to give thanks always in everything that's going on around us. We also have his word that tells us, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, which we heard this morning, all right? It's amazing what keeps coming up, that God has these promises for us. And you know, the exciting thing is, his promises are yes and amen. They are done. He tells us, Jesus was asked the question, what must we do? You know, what is the work the Father requires of us? And Jesus says to them, to believe in the one whom he sent. Can we do that today? Can we believe in the one whom he sent? There is nothing more to do but believe, and then start giving thanks to him for that. So we see at the beginning in Genesis 3:16, we're in the fall of man. We're all in a position that we've inherited this nature. But we're also in a position where we're told that we can come, and if we will testify of Jesus by our mouth, then we can be saved and redeemed from that lost and sinful nature. And today, I don't know where you're at, but if you believe, like Rosie and I used to, that we were good people, we believed in God, right? But we had never confessed him. We'd never come to him and said, Lord, Lord, become my Lord. You know, and Jesus says to the people that come to him, and they say, oh, Lord, Lord. And he said, well, why do you call me that? You're not interested in what I've got to say or what I'm doing. But I put it that to you today. Where are you at with Jesus today? Are you calling on him, or have you made him Lord of your life today? And I'm just going to leave it there. There's so much more I would encourage you. But if, like me last week when you saw Craig's message and something comes out of it, be prepared to follow it through. Be prepared to see what else, you know, God wants to reveal to you out of what's been brought to you each time you come into this place. There's so much that the Word of God reveals to us and that he wants us to know and to understand. So as we finish up now, I'm going to be heading out to help my wife with coffees in a little bit. But if there's anything you'd like me to pray with you with, during the next two songs, I'll be available to pray with you. After that, I'm going to head out, but Graham will be looking after things in here. And if there's anything at all you need prayer for or want prayer, the prayer team is in here. They will be praying at the end of the service for anyone. So if there's anyone who today would like to be introduced to Jesus, then I'm only too happy to pray with you today if you want to do that. If you want to put your hand up and say, yes, I'd love for Jesus to come into my life, to lead me and guide me, then please feel free to come today. You see up on the screen is, I don't pick the songs, right, that come. But we were standing up the back and Jean had it on the screen and Rosie ran over and said, what's this? She said, oh, that's the first song that comes after your message today. So there's no coincidences in God, all right? I encourage you this week, go and grab your Bibles, get your highlighters out, find the 3:16s, see what it's saying to you this week, all right? Because the Word of God is living and powerful. It's a dynamic thing. And that same excitement that Julianne's had through this week of the Holy Spirit and coming to that knowledge and believing, that can be for every one of us in this room. That excitement that you won't be coming down there with your walkers. You'll be coming running down that path, all right? I won't have to go up and help you down, all right? You'll be that excited that you can't wait to get in here. Is that it doesn't matter what's going on. Stuff happens in life, but in all things with praise and thanksgiving, giving thanks to the God. So let's just rejoice in this. I don't know even what the song, I don't think I've ever heard it. But we're going to find out, eh?